Welcome back to First Generation Professionals, the podcast where we share the real stories of those paving the way as the first in their families to step into the professional world. I'm your host, Melissa Rodriguez. Today I'm excited to introduce Dhruv Pandya, an IT security professional with a master's in computer science and a bachelor's in computer engineering. Dhruv brings a strong foundation in network security, digital forensics, and cross-team collaboration, and they're passionate about making tech spaces more secure and accessible. In this episode, we'll talk about Dhruv's educational journey, how they navigated their path into IT security, and what advice they have for other first-gen students pursuing careers in tech. Let's get into it.
My name is Dhruv Pandya, and I'm an information security professional, a CI. A proud CI alum, graduated from CSUCI in December 2017 with a master's in computer science. I currently work as the director of information security at a video marketing company called Vistia. My job is to make sure I curate an information security program and strategy for them in order to make sure their data is safe and the customers have assurance on using our product that we are keeping their data safe. And as easy as it sounds, it involves a lot of strategy and technical. I am also currently adjunct faculty at Cal Lutheran, where I'm teaching information security to grad students.
How did you start your career and what motivated you to pursue this path?
I started my career aspiring to be a computer science professional versus an information security professional. I was always interested in going towards database and data analytics, but fate had its own way. And in my final year of engineering in India, my highest score was in information security. That kind of made me think about that comes natural to me as a subject. The biggest achievements during the course and the curriculum were cryptography, which means the most ancient method of creating and breaking a lock. Information security is just not cryptography. It's a lot of things, but it comes with a thought process. And that was something very natural to me. So when I was looking for applying at CI, Dr. Michael Soltis was the program director at that point. His research and his field experience in information security was also something that I wanted to work with him and become a cybersecurity professional. Didn't know what a cybersecurity professional meant at that point because, again, industry has this great shroud of it's a mystery. Unlike when you say I'm a security professional, you don't know exactly what niche of security field one is practicing. For everybody, like one can be a vulnerability management expert or somebody just can be a risk management professional, but they all can be like considered a cybersecurity professional workforce. I think working with Dr. Soltis gave me an opportunity to work on digital forensics and a little bit more technical side of cybersecurity. Also did some heavy math courses while at CI. In and all, like that is exactly what motivated me to be a cybersecurity professional. A cybersecurity professional, getting into the field is the most challenging part. Once you are in the workforce, then it just becomes a consistent learning procedure to be where you are at.
Did your background as a first generation student influence any of these choices? And did any specific factors play a role?
Absolutely. For an international student, I think we do not have the luxury to sit down and think too much about what our career choices can be. You have a general idea about this is the field that I'm going to pursue. We definitely have visa restrictions. We have a certain time period in which you have to get a job. Which is much difficult, right? It's like a game challenge because you have basically after you graduate, you have 90 days to get a job. And if you don't get a job, then you go home, which means, and it's not the worst thing in the world, but you do want to have some experience, which the United States Constitution gives us the permission to with the visa. And so it does influence us to kind of push forward in a more strategic way, because if you have less time, you're definitely going to be very strategic in your decisions. You're also going to be aggressive in making sure that you are like in front of the line rather than struggling to just get in the line. And so that's how I would say it's a mixture of a lot of components that kind of gets you where you are.
Regarding joining the workforce, how has your experience understanding organizational culture and immersing yourself in this new journey?
Joining the workforce is always the toughest part, as I said. Information security is, especially when we talk about Ventura County and the availability of jobs in information security, we are mostly Navy-based focused community when it comes to technical skill set. Majority of the positions open would require like a clearance to work with the government. Majority, I would say majority of the international students wouldn't have that. So getting into cybersecurity was a bit challenging than I thought. As I said, when you have time crunch, you're pretty strategic, and I was very strategic in making sure that I get into the workforce. So I started with the cybersecurity workforce, and then once you get into the industry, you kind of start learning about its day-to-day function, cultures. Luckily, I had a great work culture that kind of ex helped me excel as a professional. And of course, the practical learning aspect of any workforce is super good. So, like me being a cybersecurity professional, my highlight of the career would be if I have handled any big security incidents, and I have multiple of those. So, I get hands-on experience on trying to protect a company, right? And that is what enriches my professional journey as well. But it just helps me like to work hard and thrive better.
Do you feel as if you were equipped with the appropriate resources to succeed in life in and after university?
That's a very broad question. And the reason for that is I don't believe anybody's equipped with all they need at any point in life, made with the university or without the university. But I would certainly say university is the place to A, be concise, knowledge sharing that happens. University is also the place where you have the luxury to fail. Right. So I would say if you want to fail, fail in the university. And trust me, the university community will get you back to success. Right. And I think that's what CI did for me. It equipped me with what I needed to have the courage to become a cybersecurity professional.
Were there any professors or mentors during your time in the computer science field who significantly impacted your intellectual development?
I always give the credit to Dr. Soltis. Dr. Michael Soltis is definitely one of those professionals and professors that gives you the opportunity to think. I honestly was very nervous working with him, just knowing his background and his skill set. But like he does give you that environment to grow, right? And that push that is necessary for you to keep moving. It's not easy for a graduate student to write thesis unless you have a professor who can actually help you at that same level. So yes, Soltis would be the one of the biggest motivations for me at the universities. And then of course I would give credit to almost all computer science faculty at that point. FBI, right? Great mentions would be Dr. Isaacs, Dr. Jason Isaacs, Dr. Brian Thoms. My God, that like these professors were like very much invested in me as a student and my growth, and not just like while working or while like being at CI. Even after that, like they would take interest if I would reach out to them. It's still a relationship that helps me and gives me the comfort that if I need some academic guidance, I have professors to go to.
I think that's what I like the best about CI is that it's such a small community that if you go to a professor, They know who you are.
Absolutely. And I always like to mention, right, like I defended my thesis on December 12th, 2017, and December 7th was the Thomas fire. So I still had my thesis. None of the professors, like they all made to the university in order to have my thesis done, like because it was very dangerous with all the fires going on around at that point. But it's going that extra mile for a student, right? And so
Yes.
it means a lot.
Did you participate in any extracurricular activities or organizations related to computer science during your academic journey?
I used to go to a lot of like not on campus exactly. It was a brand new program. We didn't have many grad level groups that were working, especially for international students. But I did go to a lot of other talks. So local information security associations like ISSA, or there are conferences that you go to. Of course, like those were great way to stay connected to the field. I mean, I also was like very much interested in like just broadly looking at a STEM career, different approaches. If I graduate, like I was really battling between, I wouldn't say battling, but like, yeah, I was really contemplating like if I wanted to do a PhD or whether I wanted to start working in the industry. And both of them had their pros and cons, but PhD, for doing my PhD, I needed some more guidance. Like groups on campus, such as SACNAS, had great contribution in that, helping me answer that question.
What kind of challenges did you find building networks and connections within the computer science or STEM field as a first generation or international student?
It is a closed community, and it's an open community in my particular field. Like you'll find mentors in a lot of ways, but building a network usually starts happening at an exponential rate after you are in the workforce. And I think international stu being an international student, I mean, there's a whole lot of journey that goes before I even mention my workforce related networking, right? And as an international student, many people fail to understand that when I speak, it is not, you may hear me speaking English, but in my mind, it's my mother tongue being converted or translated in live in English. And so many sentence formation might be active versus passive. And for an average person, that is not something they would consider when having a conversation. So there's a lot of hit and miss, right? Like if you feel like, oh, that's weird. Yeah, and so one has to learn a lot of things, not just cybersecurity, in order to be successful.
How did you establish meaningful relationships with peer, faculty, or professionals?
Establishing meaningful relationships to me is mostly being committed to what you are doing. I think lack of commitment is always like the first wrench having any relationship. May it be a peer, or may it be a professor, or may it be my coworker. I think it just starts breaking from that point onwards, right? You need to show effort in order to ensure that relationship is not just like there, but it also blossoms to a different level, right? And ultimately, we all are human beings, so you may never know when those relationships can be vital in aiding something bigger in the field, right? If you are doing a research, even outside of the university, a great source would be to go and check, like do a sanity check with a professor, right? Versus if I'm working for a different company and I have a coworker at a very different company that I used to work, then that level of commitment and relationship building that you put in has to be consistent. It's not that, oh, I'm done here and I'm going to walk away. I'm no longer going to see your face. You have to keep checking with them. You have to maintain the relationships as well. It's not a one-time deal. It's like a you have to kind of consider this as a lifetime commitment. As long as it's serving both of the people involved in the relationship.
No, that's very similar to what we learned in communication studies. And I feel like if someone notices your lack of motivation, they're not as inclined to like collaborate with you. How has your education influenced your worldview, critical thinking skills, and professional growth?
I think if you have education, that definitely means you have critical thinking. It's an underlying assumption one makes while you have education. But like if you talk about a cybersecurity professional, critical thinking is a daily job, right? It gets exhausting, but it's a daily job. You cannot afford to be complacent in anything. Learning at CI, like, I mean, of course, you learn computer science. Computer science is basically critical thinking, right? You are translating an idea to a piece of code. Yes, it definitely aids. Like, education has a big part of how a person is molded in the society and what they think and what their vision is, right? Like you may walk through something and you would see a computer open and it'll be like, you should lock that computer. There can be n number of things that can happen, right? And that's just a very rudimentary example of how a cybersecurity professional looks at the world. But yeah.
How did your experience of a first generation STEM or international student shape your understanding of your own identity and cultural heritage?
Being an international student, there are a thousand battles that you fight every day. May it be your basic communication skill, may it be being part of a community or attempting to be a part of a community, right? There's a lot that goes into understanding. So it's like a never-ending workout for you. I do CrossFit, and in CrossFit there are like usual like as many rounds as possible in like 15 minutes, and so you push yourself. You know that you have to get those reps completed in 15 minutes, right? So as a human being, when you give yourself a goal, you're going to push yourself through. And when an information when an international student embarks on the journey for education in the United States, your goal is to go to the US, get a better education, and learn and have an output. Try to get experience in the field, right? And so when you have your goals set, the rest becomes clear. It's just a journey, but that's a journey which is not a 15-minute as many rounds as possible. It's 2 years worth of as many rounds as possible. And you cannot break, because if you break, there's no other option for you at that point. And because somebody like me, the currency exchange when I started at CI was $65, 65 rupees to a dollar. So you also come with that mindset of your parents are spending 65 times more in order to get you educated in a better field, right? And it's not an easy thing to do. So then you kind of have to think about self-supporting yourself as well.
There's just like a lot of different factors going into you even being in education,
Yeah,
definitely.
there's never one scenario. Like the communication, I think on a grander scale is the least of your problems at that point. But like just the logistics of where are you going to live? How are you going to live? Do you understand the rent agreement? Do you understand how credit score works? Are you going to have a car? Because living in Southern California without a car is not something that the city planners have ever thought about. Right. So there's a lot that goes into being an international student. But ultimately, I think every international student who comes here, completes their journey, and are working at a good institution right now are heroes in their own identity, and they're doing excellent.
Were there any specific resources or support systems that you found helpful in navigating the academic and social aspects of college?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think CI is amazing at that. So I always tell people CI is my home, right? And I mean that, because when you are at home, you are not judged, right? And CI has given this rounded thoughtfulness to a student life cycle, right? It's not just about getting a book, going to the class, giving an exam. It is more about your complete well-being as a student, right? May that be the Dolphin Food Pantry, or may that be the CAPS place for going, like meant for mental health services, right? Or may it be student orgs, where you can find your passions and serve, right? I used to serve on a student org, which was called CI Can Help with Helping Hands, which was advocating for students with disabilities, right? So you learn a lot, right? I used to volunteer for on the I was on the committee for MSFT. I was on the committee for the student dining. So you learn a lot of aspects of how corporate world works, or like how the outer world works, without being judged at CI, right? Now you're learning those day-to-day working of how you would feel when you are outside of CI. And then of course CI is a very supportive community. May it be any staff member, may it be any faculty, may it be any student, you get that feeling of like, okay, I'm gonna be safe if I excel. Now I need to focus on studying rather than anything else. And that's a privilege to have.
Definitely. That was really beautifully put. How did your family and community react to your decision to pursue a STEM major?
My father is an engineer as well.
Oh, okay.
The question was not whether I was going to pursue a STEM major or not. The question was more about what STEM major I was going to pursue. My father is an electrical engineer, and he worked his entire life in field, which means traveling mostly on the dusty roads of the villages, or making sure the power lines are in set. And he always wanted me to go for an education, which was going to be the future of the next 2 decades. And so I had a choice of going with a more traditional engineering, or go with something which was more futuristic. And I chose computer engineering for that. That's why my background is in STEM. And then when I came to CI, I did my master's in computer science, which is a bit different than a computer engineer. Yeah, everybody has a, I think everybody should have a role model. We have to kind of go with a baseline that we are not perfect. We should be proud of ourselves, but we are not perfect. So role models are gapping that delta of between your pride and the reality, right? And I think for me, my first role model always has been my mother. She's an accomplished professional herself, but if I find myself slacking, and at least when I did as a student, my reality check was always with my mother. She was an attorney. She worked for mostly social justice related cases, family related cases, and more of like she had a niche practice on that part. But yeah, and very accomplished herself. Like she had her graduate degree in sociology, where she was the university top student, right? So being accomplished is one thing, but then mentoring your own child with that grit, and I would say being strict, is a very different aspect, right? I would never find, if I'm going to her for strategy, then I would get strategy, right? And that's a great thing to have. Similarly, my father was always a motivation. He's my fail-safe mechanism, if I call him. You have role models, and if I go outside of families, I think for a security professional, I always say like Alan Turing was one of my biggest motivation because of the magnitude of research he put in, and what he brought to the cybersecurity world. Like breaking the Enigma was his achievement. And so it's like you learn about a lot of things, and slowly you build up different mentors in your life. It's like a checkpoint, and
Yeah, definitely.
they serve you when you need them the most.
How did financial considerations impact your decision to pursue college as a first generation international student?
Big time. As I mentioned earlier, right, you have to see the currency conversation, and like international dollar conversion is always brutal. So for me, I wanted to get something which was much more affordable. When I was applying to different universities in the United States, there were two criteria that I had on the primary checkbox, which was if I'm getting a scholarship or the fees are affordable enough, right? And then rest can be a bonus. But I think when I was applying through CSU Mentor, CSU Channel Islands came up as one of the most affordable institutions. And then I think my total fees for the entire graduate program, it helped, right? It certainly helped me pursue a degree. So, yeah.
And the financial aid or the support that you got was when you were working on which part of campus?
I was so I had for the first like for the entire duration as I was a student, I used to work as the infrastructure student assistant. I used to work with the IT team to help them with their network related devices or like the blue code blue phones that you see around the campus or the Faro printers. That was something I used to work with, and even the office phones, right? The Cisco phones that you guys have. So I worked on that, but that was for the two years of my stay on CI, right? I was employed with them, and then for 1 year I was doing two jobs where I was also a learning resource center tutor. Two different aspects, right? Like this is a job versus like learning resource center is a very it's a great feeling to teach somebody the skill set that you have. So it's like balance out both the worlds. Those were the two jobs that I was doing on campus. And then I also received a scholarship from Southern California Edison in 2016. So that was super helpful in like catapulting the whole financial worry to something which was on net positive side.
Definitely. What does being a first generation international professional mean to you?
It means a lot in a nutshell. And the reason for that is you've kind of broken a barrier to get to a place where now it's not about just sitting there. It's a responsibility to kind of start bringing others to that same level or at least higher than you. So it comes with that responsibility. So to me, the most important takeaway as an international student was like once I started in the industry, my immediate focus was like, how can I help more to the students and coming back to the campus community, right? Because I know what conditions I was in. So just translating that experience in a much more simpler way for all the other students to save them anxiety and focus more on studies was my primary goal. And then, of course, once in a while, you also have opportunities with your employers where you can bring in interns and a lot of other ways to kind of give back to the community as well. And then your professional success is always a plus.
Definitely. Which kind of goes into my next question. Have you had the opportunity to mentor or support other first generation students?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that has been a perennial process for me since I graduated. It's never ended. And I do take that very seriously because there are things in my hand where we teach international students or this some more computer science students or students who are trying to get into cybersecurity, right? There's a number of ranges. I've participated so much in different mentoring opportunities that I have a wealth of students right now that have become amazing professionals. There are people who have never been students with me, or like I've known them from LinkedIn and we've connected and we've mentored each other. That's a very organic process. A good example. So in Ventura, there is Foothill Technology High School. So I used to go to their workshops for students, help them build their resume, help them answer questions about cybersecurity. So like that is a very foundational level where you can give your mentoring service versus somebody graduating from a grad program at CI, who's more looking forward to get what should I be doing at this level when I'm applying for jobs, or is my project more important or thesis more important? How did you navigate this particular subject? There can be n number of questions, right? And the best thing is you'd be knee deep in your work on a work day, and there would be a student asking you a question, and that suddenly brings you down to that student moment of yours. And it's a much required break in the day. Very helpful. But yeah, I think that's an opportunity I never want to miss or lose. The more the better.
What advice would you give to other students or future professionals who may share the same experience as you?
Where I see majority of people struggle is around two things. A, having vision. A vision of where you see yourself as a professional is very helpful when you start your journey, because that's the elixir which will keep you going every day. May as it be as a student or as a professional trying to get into the workforce, because there will be times when you feel defeated, but your only hope is that vision of this is what I want to do, and it will save you at that point. It will salvage you from that particular situation. And the second advice is, we all work hard, right? There is no substitute to working hard. But when we work hard and when we achieve our goal, the responsibility suddenly doubles. It doesn't, it's not the win, it's what you do after the win. And the more strategic you are after you have achieved your goal, the more chances for you to just sustain that achievement and even help others. Otherwise, it's very easy for somebody to achieve something and then just mess it up, because now what? And we human beings are creatures of curiosity. So curiosity can be both. It can be enriching or destructive. It depends what you choose. But yeah, I think even in the best of the scenarios, the world will throw a lot of curveballs at you. It's inevitable, and it's, I think, essential for your own growth, because like as we say, the smooth seas don't make a great sailor.
If you could give your younger self a piece of advice, what would it be?
Start early. I made decisions very late in my life on what I wanted to do. I could have made the same decisions at a very early stage in my life, and I could have been in a very different place. Don't be afraid, just keep going, right? I personally didn't do that at one point, and when I saw the side effects of it, I realized what I lost in time. Present matters, and I think learning it matters. So I learned from my mistake.
And I think that's very relatable to any field or any student just navigating their life right now in university.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That was the last question. Thank you so much.
Happy to help.
And that wraps up another episode of First Generation Professionals. A heartfelt thank you to Dhruv Pandya for joining us and sharing not just their experience in IT security, but also what it's been like navigating this journey as an international student and first-gen professional. Dhruv's story is a reminder that your background doesn't limit you, it builds you. Whether you're adapting to a new country, learning new systems, or entering a highly technical field, your perspective is your strength. If this episode inspired you, please consider subscribing to the podcast, leaving a review, and sharing it with your friends. Together, we're building a space where first-gen professionals can feel seen, heard, and empowered. This is Melissa signing off and thanking you for tuning in. We'll catch you in the next episode. And don't forget, you've got this.